God's good. Amen? Man, I am so glad you're here today. And I'm praying that you also are glad that you're in God's house on the Lord's Day. Where would you rather be? I love Isaiah. Isaiah said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. No, not Isaiah, the psalmist. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of iniquity. What he was saying was, I'd rather be a nobody at the church than to be the bigwig in the world of iniquity. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of iniquity. God's good. Amen. Your Bible's open to Romans chapter 3. I had mentioned to you last week for the remainder of the month of August, I'm going to be in the book of Romans. And, John MacArthur, who passed about a month ago, is my hero in the faith. And I remember him talking about preaching through the book of Romans years ago. And it took him 2 years to preach through the book of Romans. And one reason it would take that long is because Romans is not only the lengthiest epistle that Paul wrote, the longest epistle, but it's also theologically the most profound. And there is no difference. When you get to even every chapter of Romans, it's absolutely theologically profound. But not only is it profound, it is extremely, extremely important. Zach's going to pop up a screen here, and it's going to have two definitions on it. And when we think about the doctrine of salvation, there are many facets to salvation. That means when God saves you, at the moment that you believed, all these things take place, multitudes of things take place. You're converted. We studied that Wednesday night. We talked a little bit about conversion as part of the doctrine of salvation. You're redeemed. You're reconciled. You're justified. You're sanctified. You're glorified. All these things happen instantaneously, but yet in God's sovereignty, they happen in a particular order in the mind of God. But for us, all within the course of seconds, the moment of our belief and surrender to the Lordship of Christ, all these things happen. Today, we want to look at two specific things. One is sanctification. And you hear these words all the time in the sanctuary and in Bible study from me and others. One is sanctification. We might even call it progressive sanctification. You're sanctified. All of us in here are sanctified. That means it's set apart is the primary definition of the word. But from a Christian perspective and as far as being a disciple, and by the way, you know the word disciple is the word learner. It means a learner. Mathetes, it means to be a learner. So all of us that are saved, if you're a follower of Christ, if you're a disciple of Christ, these things should thrill you and interest you because you're learning about God's great work of salvation. Sanctification is us growing in the likeness of Christ. You know, there's tons of other words we could use. Growing in grace, bearing fruit. I mean, it's where the work of Christ continues to work in us to be more like Him. We know that's why God saved us, to be conformed to the image of His Son. It is a progressive work. It started at the moment of salvation, and it will continue until the day you depart from your body of death. It's a lifelong experience of pursuing sanctification. That's very important. It's commanded in Scripture that you pursue being sanctified. The other doctrine we're looking at this morning is the doctrine of justification. This is judicial. And many of you have been in enough of my studies. We've done the doctrine of salvation. We've studied it on Wednesday nights. We've done it on Sunday nights back when we used to have Sunday night church on a regular basis. This should not be foreign to you, but justification. By the way, it appears about 15 times in the book of Romans alone, about 40 times in the New Testament. The justification or justify or justify or justified, whether a noun or a verb, it's used about 40 times. It's a judicial declaration. Listen to me, it's very important you understand this. Because this is connected to eternal security, if you want to use that word. Or like people want to accuse us, they'll say, you believe in once saved, always saved. Well, yes we do. We put it in other terms. But one reason we might say that we do believe in once saved, always saved, or eternal security is because of justification. Because when you believed, God in His sovereign plan, His mercy and grace, knowing He would do this in eternity past because of what Christ was going to do, He declares every sinner who has faith, saving faith, He declares that person not guilty of any sin. Not guilty. Isn't that good? Hello? Is that not good? That's God's grace. So, in just a moment, we're going to pass out, not now, in a moment, I'll pass out a little handout and we're going to do a little quiz. But that's okay. Right now, I want you to read with me Romans chapter 3. I'm beginning at verse 21. Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 21. I want you to notice how many times, like, the word faith is mentioned, or belief. How many times justify appears in the text? Let's listen to the Word of God. He says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to whatever it is, this righteousness that's apart from the law, right? So in the Old Testament, God had righteous standards, the law of God. Whether you're thinking about the Ten Commandments or all the other moral laws that God laid down, those laws reveal the righteousness of God. As a matter of fact, the writer Paul said in Galatians that the law is a school teacher. And what he meant by that is it keeps schooling us. And let me tell you what, when you say the law is a schoolmaster or a school teacher, you know what it does? It keeps telling me how much of a sinner I really am. It keeps schooling me as a child of God that I'm not meeting up to the standards that God has set in Scriptures. So he says, but now there's a righteousness of God that has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets would talk about it, he's saying. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. You see that? He's saying there's a way to be righteous that is no longer based on obeying the law. Now, he didn't, Jesus didn't do away with the law, did he? He fulfilled it. So in the sense, the law still is good and it's still binding in the sense that it tells us how we ought to be living. But our means of righteousness is no longer saying I'm obeying the law. Our means of righteousness is saying I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So you know that. I mean, I don't have to convince you that you're a sinner and that you miss the mark. You've missed the mark today. You've missed the mark this morning. There's a high possibility that even in this building, as you're fellowshipping with believers and sitting through Sunday school and preparing for worship, that you've missed the mark. There's something you've done that is in mind, heart, and soul that has violated God's biblical standard. So he says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift. It's a grace gift. It's the grace of salvation. The part of salvation that he's talking about is justification by faith. Justification by faith. Not by works. Not by baptism. Not by church membership. Not by good deeds. Not by being sweet. It's by Christ being justified by your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, it's important that we look at a cross reference real quick right here. So he says, and are justified by his grace as a gift, that's verse 24, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Just for a second, go to Ephesians 2. Take a right and go to Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. So you want to go to Ephesians chapter 2. And you'll pass Corinth. But Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 5. And even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Look what he says, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Folks, faith is a gift too. Look what he says. There's nothing we do. It's grace, the grace gift, but along with his grace to save is the grace of faith. You are a dead sinner. Dead people don't think. You're dead in sin. You're alienated from the life of God. How in the world do dead people think? Spiritually dead people can't think. They can't believe unless God enables them to believe. So, because some people claim, well, my faith was my work to be saved. No. The Bible says God enables you to have faith. So that's going back to Romans chapter 3. He says, and you're justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Whom? Verse 25. Whom God put forward. One translator said he exhibited. It's an exhibit. Exhibit A. Exhibit JC, Jesus Christ. So he put him forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. Saying there's a lot of people that went to heaven, okay, Abraham's bosom, in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, and Christ hadn't died yet. Only through his grace, God allowed sacrifices to cover until Christ could take them away. Isn't that, it's the forbearance of God. I love that. That's a great doctrine of the mercy and the grace of God. In his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. How in the world, if God is holy, unapproachable, omnipotent, omniscient, everywhere present, all-powerful, all-knowing, living in divine purity, unknown to sinners, then he's saying, how in the world can he save sinners? How can he be a just God by forgiving wicked sinners? Let me forget you. How about me? How is it that a just God who's holy and other, holy, righteous, powerful, all-knowing, eternal, How can he be just and forgive me? How can he? So he says, this is how he's just and the justifier. It's because his son bore my guilt on Calvary and paid the price. His son lived a perfect life, died for sin, and he didn't commit any sin, but he died, so he died for my sin. So God, that's what he says, he can be just and the justifier of the one has faith in Jesus. Look, this is why you believe in him. Now, I know when I got saved at 16, I didn't understand any of this. You know, I'd only heard the gospel 10 or 15, 20 times. And I just knew I was a sinner and Christ died and was raised from the dead. And I could tell by the work of the Spirit, and the Spirit was convincing me that I was exactly who the Bible says I was. I was a lost sinner. But aren't you glad as a believer you comprehend the depths of salvation? That how and what God did to save you? And when you do think about what he's done and what he continues to do, it makes you love him and serve him. Or it should, if you understand the depths of your salvation. So he says, it was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? He says, what are you talking about? It's excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No! There's a new law. It's the law of what? Faith. Do you believe? When the Bible says believe, when they said in the book of Acts, first sermon preached, they said, what are we to do? I'm convicted. You know, they're saying we're convicted of sin. What are we going to do? And when Peter said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he wasn't saying believe that he's a historical figure. He was saying believe he's the substitutionary atonement. The Lord of glory has died on the cross. That's what you're believing in. Have faith in Jesus. This is why you love him. This is why you love the Lord. This is why you worship the Father and the Son, because they have saved us from our sins. Robbie, if you don't mind, go ahead and start passing those out. Bruce can help you. Try to pay attention. They're going to pass them out. I'm continuing to read. Then what becomes of our boasting? Is excluded by what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Folks, if you're here today and somebody has convinced you, if you're good enough, God will accept you. I can say this with all honesty because I'm a human. I'm living in this body of death. And I have the protection of working here. My world is a little office back here. That's 90% of my world is studying and preparing. But I'm a sinner. So there's no way in the world that we're in that you could be in any way capable of being righteous. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Where's God, the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since God is one, who will justify the circumcised by faith, the Jews by faith, and those of us that the uncircumcised through faith? One was the past. How did he save the Jews in the past? By faith. How does he save all the Gentiles since the cross forward? Through faith. It's just all by faith in Jesus Christ. Do we then, verse 31, overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. It's not we get rid of the law. The law is still active, but the law has been fulfilled because I know Jesus. When God looks at me and God looks at you, because I had faith in Christ, I'm considered righteous in his eyes because I get Christ's history. Look at chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, and then we'll look at the worksheet quickly. And I know it needs to be quickly, but look at your Bibles. I'm in Romans 5. By the way, he says in chapter 4, just a little fact, he asked about Abraham. You know, Abraham believed God and it counted to him as righteousness. Abraham was a pagan, came from a pagan family. And God called him out, okay? So it says in chapter 4, verse 1, what then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about. But was it his own works that gave him righteousness? No. It says he was considered righteous by faith. And Abraham was the first one, as we say, who believed by faith. Look at chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, what do we have? We have peace. Don't want you to forget that. One of the fruits of the Spirit, when you say the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. You may tell you what accompanies salvation. You may tell you why you have a peace. When you get saved, whenever that was, you can think back whenever it was, when you were saved, along with being saved, came peace. Because before you got saved, the Bible says you were an enemy of God. He's righteous, you were unholy, you were His enemy. The Bible uses the word enmity, but it means at war. You were at war with Him. But Christ has given you peace. You're just, think of that, justified. Now listen to what I'm fixing to tell you. If you're saved and you've been justified by faith, now listen to this. Now, you could misquote me, so listen. It's true. If you've had saving faith, you're justified by faith, right? There's no way you can go to hell. No way. Because you've been justified. And God looks at you just as if you had never sinned. Because you've inherited by faith, when you believed in Christ, you're believing He's the righteous, eternal Son of God, holy, all the... God gives you His record. And your record was given to Christ and He died. So, if I'm justified by faith, no wonder I have peace. I'm not scared to die. I'm not scared of the other side of eternity. You shouldn't be either. Now, I don't want to die in a car wreck and burn to death. How I die is one thing. I'd like to die either in the pulpit or in my sleep. Not in the pulpit, that would shock you. But So, we'll have to come back to this, but let's look at our worksheet. I'm just going to walk through it. If you have a pencil and want to keep up with it, fine. I'm going to give you every answer. Something to think about. Now, it boils down to two things. If you read Romans 3, the verses we read, he's talking about saving faith and God's sovereign grace to justify. Listen to that. Think about that again. The Bible's talking about saving faith. He mentions it numerous times, by faith. So, saving faith. By the way, there's a faith that doesn't save, right? James deals with that, okay? But saving faith is one thing that he's dealing with, and he's dealing with God's sovereign grace that justifies you freely by His own grace. That's what we've been talking about. Now, so, Jay, if you put that screen back up, justification, sanctification, so they can kind of look at that. Now, if we have time, I'm going to read you a lengthier definition of both, but so judicial, there's a judicial declaration. You had nothing to do with it. God says, not guilty because of my Son. The other is progressive. You continue to mature. It doesn't end. Okay, so that number one, it's a judicial act of God. J, justification. Okay. Two, it's greater in some than in others. Has to be sanctification, right? Salvation by faith. God saves me with the same power He saves you. I'm justified by faith. You're justified by faith. It's the same faith. It's the same Jesus. So this has to be sanctification. That's where we say some people are more mature than others. Some people are growing in Christ in a greater way than others. Some people are more committed to the Word of God than other people. Third, it never ends in this life. Sanctification, right? Justification it happens instantaneously. Now think, see, you got to be thinking about what salvation is doing. Sanctification is commanded, but it never ends. And this is where you cooperate with the Lord Jesus. You know, Philippians 2, for it is God who works in us both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Paul says, this I know for sure, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. So he's still working in us. That's sanctification. J is for judicial act of God for justification. S is for sanctification, the continual process of growing into Christ-likeness. Fourth one says, is a once-for-all act of God. Justification. Because you can't just... Did you justify yourself? No. Who did it? God did. How many times does He have to justify you in Jesus? Once. You're justified by faith. And you're declared not guilty. This is why the... Now think of... How can the Bible call you a child of God? And it does numerous times. Even when Hebrews 12, after you get down, talks about discipline. It calls us little children. It's, the word for discipline is the raising a preschooler. Padia, it's the word you would use for dealing with a preschooler or a little child. God disciplines us as children. Does He say we're not His child? No, we're His child in Christ. It's a once-for-all act of God as justification. It's a divine declaration, and we're found not guilty for Christ's sake. Justification. Now, folks, it matters because this is how you're saved. I love that to say, man, I got saved. But this is how God saved you. He declared you not guilty in the judicial courtroom of a holy God because of Christ. You know, the Bible says He lives... Christ lives to make intercession. Well, His very presence at the right hand of the Father echoes that all who have believed are justified by faith. We cooperate in the process. Sanctification. If you have anything to do with it, it can't be justification. Because that's His declaration. It's a sovereign, eternal courtroom declaration. It's God in His justice makes us perfect in God's eyes. Justification. Folks, I'm not perfect. I'm not sinless. Neither are you. But as God looks at me, He has to look at me through His Son. Because He can't look at sin. He can't behold sin. So when God the Father would look upon me, He has to look at me through His Son. By the way, that's why sometimes you sit around and wonder why God just doesn't zap the world, take us out and just cremate the world. And it's because common grace, you know. Jesus came, and we're in the age of grace. And He allows lost people to enjoy creation. You know, that's just His common grace. An internal change in a believer. Sanctification. It begins at regeneration. Sanctification. So it begins when you get saved, right? What begins? The process of sanctification. Now there's a lot of other things begin the moment you're born again. So it's like a newborn baby. What does a newborn baby do? What they do is grow. All the genetics are inside of them to be what they're going to be. They need time and food to grow up to be what their genetics are going to say they're going to be. Well, when we get saved, sanctification begins, right? we're a new, you know, we're born again in Christ. We have second birth, right? So we're born first, descendant of Adam, born a second time in Christ. So it began, completed at regeneration. So this happens instantaneously when you're saved. What is that? Justification. The next one, we no longer are dominated by sin. Sanctification. You're set apart. This is part of the process of becoming more and more like Christ. You're set apart. You're no longer dominated by sin. You're being sanctified. You're more and more becoming like Jesus. Other terms you could use, discipleship, bearing fruit, growing in grace. I mean, there's several other ways to put it. But you're no longer dominated by sin. You're sanctified. You're more and more becoming like Christ or pursuing Christ-likeness. God the Father guarantees glory. Justification. God and man cooperate. Because the Spirit works in us to will and to do. So the Spirit works in us. That's a cooperation, right? So you and I, as saved individuals, have the Spirit of God, we have the Word of God, and inside of us, we cooperate with the Word of God, the Spirit of God, to pursue Christ-likeness. So it's a cooperation. You know that. I mean, it's our responsibility. That's what makes you a disciple. You ever think about... I know I'm over a little bit here, but think about this. Think about, we might even call them, let's say, phantom pursuits. And I do this all the time where you end up pursuing something, whatever it might be. And it's an absolute dead end because it serves no eternal purpose. Sometimes we get caught up in things we're doing that you're going nowhere. And it's not increasing your righteousness. It's not increasing the fellowship of the church and glorifying Christ. It does nothing. You're wasting your time. Is believers obeying God's will? Sanctification. The Word of God working in the life of the saved? Sanctification. Just as if we had never sinned. Justification. You getting it now? God's eternal justice satisfied in Christ. He says, not guilty. So, by faith, says numerous times in Romans 3, justified by faith. Freely justified by faith. So God's eternal justice was just absolutely in Christ, not in you. That's why you believe in Him. He's the Savior. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Walking in the Spirit. Sanctification, right? Now, if I said you're sealed in the Spirit, you could argue justification. Because that's one way God does do it. He seals you for eternity. So what the Bible says. But if we're walking in the Spirit, it's talking about pursuing spiritual obedience to Christ. Last one is Christ's righteousness imputed to me. Justification. Some of the words we might use are imputation. Okay, it's imputed. It's given to me. I didn't deserve it. It's imputed. It's handed to me as salvation. So, two things about salvation. Number one, we're talking about saving faith. The faith that saves. Okay, and you know, there's a lot of people believe a lot of things, but it's not being saved. But they're saving faith. This is one of the things we know about saving faith. That when we believe, because of God's sovereign grace, He imputes Christ's history to everybody who believes. We don't deserve it. It's the free gift of God. but it's the guarantee of glory. This is why the Bible can say all, you know, everybody who is saved, he justifies. And all he justifies, he then also does glorify. Romans 8. Because if you're justified, that means if you're saved, you're guaranteed where? Glory. You're guaranteed, heaven is a guarantee. That goes back to being sealed, the engagement ring of salvation. Folks, I have so many other things I want to share, but time will not allow. Let's stand together for prayer. Thank you so much for being here this morning. So we're sanctified, growing more into Christ's likeness. We're justified by a declaration of God the Father about us in Christ. Christ history imputed to me. I'm justified by faith. Let's pray. I'm going to pray, but our heads are bowed and our eyes closed. I have to ask you, I mean, you're sitting there thinking about all this, and some of it may be a little confusing. But I want you to think, if you're not, if you've never had faith, saving faith, and believed that Jesus was the Son of God, the Redeemer, died, rose, ascended, coming back, you do not have not believed in that. If those of us that are justified by faith have peace with God, what do you have if you've never been saved? You're His enemy. You're at war with a righteous, holy God. And I'm going to tell you who wins. It's not you. The wages of sin is death. Either you pay it, or you have faith in Christ, trust Him, because He's paid it in full. And even said so on the cross. Sanctified in Christ Jesus, justified in Christ Jesus. I am so glad I'm saved, or you. Let's pray. We love you, Lord. Thank you for the dynamic work of grace and salvation. Thank you for justification by faith. Thank you, Lord, that you've called us to be sanctified to every moment of every day. Pursue, long for Christ-likeness. Dismiss us now with your grace and mercy. May we represent Jesus Christ by the words we say and the things we do. In Jesus' name, amen.